It was a little over a week before the September election. Remember back then, the man who would shortly become Education Minister, Christopher Pyne, said this. You can vote Liberal or Labor and you'll get exactly the same amount of funding for your school. Didn't matter how you voted, when it came to education, there was a unity ticket, said Christopher Pyne, on that issue. In particular, a unity ticket around the funding reforms that flowed from the Gonski Review of Australian School Education. Well, now, not so much. The fallout continues today from Mr. Pyne's decision to walk away from that pre-election pledge to stick with the former Labor government's Gonski education reforms. New South Wales Premier Barry O'Farrell has today criticised Mr. Pyne's handling of the issue, warning that his state had an agreement for a set amount of money and will not settle for anything less.
In all my years in politics, I've worked out that it's best to have respectful discussions and consultations in private, not through the media. And secondly, when you move into government, you've got to stop behaving like an opposition. This issue has been escalated because of the poor way in which it's been handled.
So the federal government has announced that it's scrapping Labor's plans for school funding and will renegotiate agreements with all states and territories within the coming year, 2014. Education Minister Christopher Pyne said Labor's arrangements will, though, stay in place for 2014 and then be overhauled.
The way our system works is that no government can bind any future government. What one government does, another government can undo. And I made it very clear before the election that I didn't buy up to the Labor Party model. We said that we would have the same funding envelope, and we will.
Now, joining you now is one of the members of the Gonski Review panel, Professor Carmen Lawrence. She's currently professorial fellow at the University of Western Australia School of Psychology. Carmen Lawrence, welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to play you some of the Education Minister's press conference today. It was quite a long explanation of his intentions around this area. I'd like to get your thoughts. Here's the first grab from Minister Pyne.
Beyond 2014, we have to implement a new school funding model. It'll be flatter, it'll be simpler, it'll be fair between the states and territories, and it'll be equitable for students so that the school funding reaches those who need it the most. We said that we would remove the control and command features from the government's model. That's exactly what we will do.
Quite a few issues there, Carmen Lawrence. In particular, he says that the proposal that the government will come up with in this next year will be fairer than the Gonski reforms, the Gonski model. What's your sense of that?
Well, it's very hard to tell from what the minister has said what he intends. So in some senses, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But when I hear words like flatter and simpler, I think that probably means that there'll be fewer differentials that take into account the very severe disadvantage that some students face. And the reason the Gonski panel was set up, and indeed what we found, was that the gap in performance between those with, if you like, resources and privilege and those without was growing in Australia, is growing in Australia, and by international standards is starting to look pretty unhealthy. And we normally like to compare ourselves with places like Canada, with Western European and Scandinavian countries, and we're doing far worse than them. In Australia, it is the case that your background, your parents' education, income is increasingly likely to determine how well you do at school and how well you do subsequently. Some individual schools have more funds at their disposal because of parental income. Some have more at their disposal because they happen to be in a particular state. What we tried to say was it really shouldn't make any difference where the student is and what their parents' background is, that you need a standard resource for all students, and then in addition, you have extra resources that depend on the level of disadvantage in that school, the number of children who have disadvantage, but also, and this is often overlooked by commentators, where there's a concentration of disadvantage. So if you've only got five students from an indigenous background in your school, that will add some complexity to the teaching. But if you've got 95% for whom English is not the first language, that's going to be a far tougher task for everybody. More complex teaching, more complex out-of-school needs, therefore more money is needed. So we took account of all of that. The analysis that the Gonski panel undertook isn't going to go away. The problem is as it's been defined. And the interesting thing was when the actual report came out, there wasn't a single dissenting voice from the analysis. No one thought that the previous system was better than what we were recommending.
Here's another piece of what he said, in which he says that the reason why the current plan is, as he says, a shambles is because every state has its own deal and operates in its own way. Here's another little exchange from that press conference today.
Minister, this is the whole key to this funding issue, that the Commonwealth is trying to get students treated equally regardless of the jurisdiction. And if you have states who have other priorities that are higher than education, I can't mm-hmm. think of any that should be, but if they do, then shouldn't you be putting pressure on them to put in more money if you're not going to increase your funding?
Well, Andrew, the states and territories are responsible for school education. They own and operate schools. They employ teachers. I don't think it's right for the Commonwealth to try and cover the field of a state responsibility. I don't think it's right for us to tell the states and territories how to run their budget.
What should be the Commonwealth role, Carmen Lawrence?
Well, I think the Commonwealth role should squarely be about funding. The idea of the Commonwealth is that we share the resources that we have, that we reduce any inequalities where they emerge, and education and health must be the two most fundamental areas for government attention. Now, I'm one of those people, as a former state premier and education minister, who thinks that a lot of the detail of that, particularly in curriculum, staffing decisions and so on, needs to rest with the states and increasingly with the individual school. But they need the resources to do it, and the resources need to be commensurate with the task. It isn't fair on students in Australia if they are forced to, if you like, cope within a system of grave inequity simply because there's some view that the state's rights should prevail. It's citizens' rights that are in question here, and you don't have to take over the school system. In fact, you can give the states more autonomy and schools more autonomy while ensuring that the funding follows need. It's a very simple idea.
We're looking at today's developments around education, in particular the government's intentions on whether or not it's going to fulfil its promise to meet all the arrangements made under the Gonski reforms of the previous government. Professor Carmen Lawrence is with you. She's a professorial fellow at the University of Western Australia and significantly a member of that panel that came up with those Gonski recommendations. Another grab for you, Carmen Lawrence, from the Minister's press conference today. Now, he's making a point here about not compelling states to put in a specific amount of funding.
As we said before the election, we would have a no-strings-attached school funding model in time. The Commonwealth would put the money that it wanted to put in, and whether the states and territories put the money they wanted to put in would be a matter for them.
Well, Carmen Lawrence, what do you make of that? In particular, this notion, and this was perhaps one of the more vexed areas before the election, around some of the requirements attached to funding under the Gonski proposals.
Well, look, the Commonwealth, I think, has a long history of intervening far too much in states' matters, I'd have to say that. But on the other hand, the Commonwealth is responsible for funding. And as a former minister, including in health, the idea that you would simply hand over money to the states and then say, then do what you will, is staggeringly naive, because what happens is that if you put money in without ensuring that other dollars follow, those dollars will simply be substituted by the states. They will say, thank you very much, and they won't necessarily put any additional funds in. But if you don't require anything of the states, my experience is that they won't deliver.
And yet that seemed to be the possibility that Christopher Pyne put before us today. I mean, he said that if a state doesn't want to fund education appropriately, then it will answer at the ballot box. I mean, is that a sufficient input from the Commonwealth into that fairly fundamental area?
Only if that process is completely transparent and it's clear what additional funds should be going, and the formula that's used is one that applies to students from all systems. At the moment, it would seem that the minister is apparently going to retreat into the model that says the Commonwealth's responsible for the Catholic and independent schools and the state governments are responsible for government schools, and they can each do what they like. And it's not in our interest to try and improve the outcome for all students. So, yes, there will be payments if you like, to be made at the ballot box if governments get it wrong. But you also need the incentive and the mechanisms and the information to enable people to make sensible decisions. And you can't do that flying blind.
Now, beyond some of these issues around funding, Mr. Pyne, the Education Minister at his press conference today also outlined his vision a little bit more broadly. Here's a little of what he said.
Things that I think will make a difference to school education. Parental engagement, teacher quality, a strong and robust curriculum, and more decisions being made locally, which of course is what I said for several years and a lot before the last federal election. So nobody should be under any illusions about what the government's plan was, nor should any of the states and territories who signed agreements, because we always said that we would have a four-year agreement and never beyond that.
Is there a disconnection, Carmen Lawrence, between what was said before election, what's happening now?
Look, I have to say that I didn't follow in detail every utterance from Mr. Pyne before the election, but it was pretty clear to everybody that I spoke to that the government not only had committed to the quantum of funding, but as he said, and I think as you played in the introduction, that the schools would get the same amount of money as they could have anticipated before the election. That means the model as well. And they said they signed up to Gonski. They said they'd accepted it, and that is the model of funding. It's not the quantum. The amount of money, in fact, is the least relevant element in this. It's how the funds are deployed that is critical. So I don't think the minister, by focusing on things like teacher quality and parent engagement, is going to solve the problem. That was the formula, in inverted commas, that had not worked so conspicuously for the last decade. The teaching quality in Australia, if it can be improved, that's well and good, but it should be improved across the board. And in some schools, you actually need super teachers, and the schools where you need super teachers are the toughest ones in which to teach. At the moment, that's not the case. You don't necessarily get the resources to employ those additional staff or support staff or whatever else may be needed. In fact, the formula that says you just focus on the teachers and the parents clearly isn't working. These are systemic problems where resources are not going in the places that they're needed, and that's what the Gonski recommendations were all about.
So just finally, Carmen Lawrence, where are we left now? We have a government saying that it will leave funding arrangements in place for the coming year, but in the process of that year, entirely renegotiate the concepts and principles behind what were the agreements with states towards a new system of education funding.
Well, it sounds like it's the old system of education funding, the one that wasn't working before. Obviously, we'll wait and see. But I think it would be a terrible waste of resources to start from scratch, which is what the minister appears to be doing. I hope that his advisers and the Commonwealth Department will revisit the analysis and the data and the findings of the Gonski panel. These weren't disputed by the educational community at large. Indeed, they were welcomed. And that he won't try to reinvent the wheel on the basis of some principles that haven't been found to be critical to reducing the big gap that's opened up in Australian education performance. Because it's not just the least well-off in our community who suffer from this. The overall level of performance drops. And the OECD has found very clearly that equitable systems perform better. So the more inequality in our system, the more a student's postcode, if you like, determines their performance, the worse off we all are, and that includes the students, their families, and the economy.
Do you think the minister has the best possible understanding of what precisely is involved in the Gonski model?
Look, I don't know. I presume he's conscientious. I presume he's read the report. I hope he goes back and reads it more carefully.
He declined a briefing on that issue, though.
Well, he did. And I would commend to him that he take up that briefing, if not from all the members of the panel, certainly from Catherine Greiner and from the staff who worked so assiduously on this. But more than anything, that he recognises the international data as well as the local data that underlines the importance of equity in the system. You need quality, absolutely. You need quality in teachers, in the recruitment of teachers, in the support of teachers, in the infrastructure in schools, and so on. But you also need the resources to flow where they are most likely to make a difference. An extra dollar going to an already privileged child coming from an advantaged background produces almost no additional benefit. That dollar going to a student who's suffering from underperformance and poor resourcing of his or her school and disadvantage in the family setting produces an enormous benefit both for the individual and the society.
Carmen Lawrence, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Professor Carmen Lawrence was a member of the Gonski Review panel and is, of course, a former Premier of Western Australia, Treasurer of that state too, and a former Federal Government Minister for Health and Human Services and Minister assisting the Prime Minister for the Status of Women. RN Drive, Jonathan Green with you.